everyone, and welcome to another episode of Modern Marvels. This is episode 10. My name is Marshall, and I am your host. Today, joining me on the podcast, Matt Hicks is here. Say hello, Matt.
Hello, everyone.
Also joining us this week, Mr. Josh Peters. Say hello, Josh.
Hey, guys.
All right. Sound pretty tired. You sound like you just woke up.
Sorry.
All right. So first up on the podcast, as usual, we're going to go ahead and talk about last week's listener question. So last week's listener question, for those of you who didn't get to join us on last week's, 2 weeks ago, since we're a little bit late, the question was, do you think Wizards will reprint fetch lands? If so, when? And will they include the allied fetch? So we did get a couple of pretty interesting responses on the, at least on the post on MTGcast. So there was, you know, a lot of, all the answers that we did get were pretty different too. Like, there wasn't just like an overwhelming, like straight up answer. This is a pretty hot topic in both modern and in just like in Magic discussion in general, because fetch lands are like a really important part to the game. So, Matt, what do you think about the fetch lands?
I agree with our commenter, Anne. She mentioned that the enemy fetches will most likely be reprinted in Modern Masters 2, which I agree with, because Modern Masters 2 probably starts in the car and then maybe go through some of their Turn to Ravnica modern stuff just to get more things in the environment. So that's a good place where they'll print the Zendikar fetches. And then as far as the Onslaught fetches, I could definitely see them being in a standard, especially after the new format of standard, where cards are in the format a lot less or not as long as they are now. Right. So it doesn't bog down the format as much as it would be if they were, you know, in there for 24 months.
Right. And that was kind of like, you know, one of the big things or one of the big controversies was having the fetch lands in the same standard as like the Return to Ravnica shock lands, because that would just be just really, really gross. Like, there'd be all sorts of really greedy mana bases all over the place. So kind of glad that didn't happen. But now, you know, some people are thinking maybe we'll see him in cons. Me personally, I would doubt it. Wizards is kind of already, you know, we've kind of already gotten some hints from the mothership, namely Aaron Forsythe, I believe, that no sign of fetch lands in the near future, meaning nothing in cons.
And the trylands are definitely confirmed. So.
Yeah, we got the trylands, and those are cool, but, you know, not much modern application there, unfortunately. So, Josh, what do you think?
Well, it's certainly interesting to think about now, because we're recording this, you know, just a day after the announced block format change.
Yes.
And a lot of times where Wizards, like, or in the past, is like to reprint lands as in core sets, and since after next year we won't have core sets, fetch lands, I guess they're not very flavorful, but they have to be in the right setting, and sort of analyzing when that setting is going to come about is much harder now that the standard will be, you know, drastically changing,
right?
In the future. So
on the flip side of that, they did mention that because there's going to be more blocks, so to speak, they can return to more places more frequently. They could do a return to Zendikar and include the Zendikar fetches.
Yeah.
That is more of an option now
than it was, right, yeah. So I would love to see Zendikar come back sooner rather than later. But I still don't want necessarily them to use that as like an excuse to like bring back the fetch lands, you know? I think I'd rather see them like do it in a different way, you know?
I mean, they use Return to Ravnica as an excuse to reprint the shock lands. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is true. I mean,
not a lot of originality there.
I mean, Ravnica was in 2006.
Yeah. So like it's
2005.
Like, right.
There's a few years to go.
Yeah, so, and I'm not sure I'm willing to wait that long, you know?
Zendikar was, like, 2008, so we're actually 2008. Not that, like, far from a return to Zendikar.
I guess not.
Right, and from a feasible, right, yeah.
Innistrad as well, but...
But I'm kind of sad that they're skipping... Well, Kamigawa was...
I'm not. Yeah.
I kind of wish they would, but hey.
I like Kamigawa for some things, but I'm not itching to go back to Kamigawa. Well,
anyway.
Trick here kind of has almost an Asian feel, more of a Mongolian side
than that's true. Chinese that's a good point. Side. Anyway, we're getting a little bit off topic. There's also been
some rumor mill about maybe like a tricolor fetch land or that you pay three life or something, but you never know what they'll do. You say that now, but
They can make something better than the fetch lands. That'd be crazy.
Something better than fetch lands. Oh, God help us.
Yeah, God help us.
More $50 bills.
I can't give Wizards all of my money.
Not all of it.
I have to eat.
All right, so what I think they're going to do for the fetch lands, I mean, honestly, I don't... This is just what I want. This isn't really like what I think will happen, but I think we could see it in the last core set for next year. So there is still going to be a core set for next year, and that'll be the last core set. I think we could see it in the core set, like all 10.
Yeah, like 10th edition did that. They had all 10 pain lands as rares.
Right.
That'd be very interesting if they committed 10 rare spots to lands.
Yeah. Like I said, I kind of doubt it. It doesn't make a lot of sense logistically, but, you know, you never know. We did see, actually, we saw the pain lands come back in this, you know, in M15 with, just the enemy ones, unfortunately, but... But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of... I mean, we're just... It's all just mad speculation as of now. There's, of course, nothing really, you know, nothing as far as we know from Wizards that hints towards reprinting of fetch lands. I think, you know, the closest, you know, guess we have is, you know, like Anne had commented, like something like Modern Masters 2 or, you know, something like that. But
yeah, I would suspect Modern Masters 2 is our most logical guess at this point.
And right. You also remember in Alara with the tricolor, they had the panoramas, which are kind of like super slow fetches, which are definitely viable for printing the enemy wedges in Trikar.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the wedge panoramas.
Yeah,
I feel like that's pretty logical. Considering the Trilands are confirmed, we have the monastery, right? So,
all right. Well, that's what we got for our discussion on the fetch lands. Again, that's a huge hot topic. You could talk to people for hours about this kind of speculation. But we're gonna go
Wizards reprinting habits in general.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the next part of our podcast. So for this podcast tonight, we have, this is going to be a podcast dedicated, because it's that almost that time of year again where Standard is rotating. And we're going to also talk about the new, Standard rotation here shortly. But so tonight's podcast, like I said, we're going to focus on, Standard players who are looking to get into Modern because of the rotation. Or just, you know, Standard players looking to get in Modern in general. Because, you know, like I said, in a couple weeks here, we're going to see cons and a couple of decks are going to rotate out. And, you know, you may want to look into getting into a format that has a little less, or a little longevity to it. So like I said, tonight's podcast is going to be focused mainly on Standard players getting into Modern.
All of you jerks that want to keep playing Styx's Revelation.
this podcast is for you. So first up, we're gonna talk about the new Standard rotation a little bit and how it will affect Modern, and how it applies to, of course, Standard is, you know, pretty important as well. That's mainly what it's gonna affect. But we're also gonna talk about, we're gonna give you guys some general tips for Standard players getting into Modern. So not necessarily like, you know, tips for newbies, but tips for, like, you know, those of you who are new to Modern, I guess. And then we're also going to give you guys a couple of decks that we suggest for players getting into Modern. And we're also going to go ahead and list off some cards from the current Standard that will potentially or are already seeing play in Modern decks. So first up, like I said, we're going to go ahead and talk about the new Standard rotation, because this is This is hot off the press from the mothership, and that is the new standard rotation. They've changed it. Pretty big change. So, Matt, do you want to explain how it works to us?
Yeah, I mean, they've been doing three set blocks since I started playing way back in the day, like 98-ish. I mean, basically since what Mirage was the first three set block.
I think the Ice Age thing was like a three set thing, but
yeah. But well, I guess,
but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like a block per se.
This is like the block, like, you draft them all together and then you go to a whole new block.
Yeah.
Well, they're changing that, and in addition to changing it from three sets in a block, they're changing it to two sets in a block. And they're getting rid of the core set, which Marsh already mentioned before. With the core set leaving, the core set's goal was to help new players. The power level's a little lower for most cards, especially at common, common and uncommon, just to have it a little more simplified. So they're talking about doing a standalone special set for beginners that won't be included in standard, that just help new people.
Yeah.
But so it'll sort of feel like how Lorwyn was, where you had Lorwyn and Morningtide.
The mega block.
And then you had
Shadowmoor, Evenside.
Shadowmoor and Evenside. But the two consecutive blocks will not be tied like those were, to the same world. So you can jump around to many more worlds more frequently now that we're only doing two sets in a block and no core set.
Right.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, I like it as well. I agree. Notable, I mean, honestly, it's really, and I don't want to get too in-depth with this on the podcast because, like I said, there's, like with a lot of news, there's a lot to discuss here, but it's really hard to say for sure how this is going to affect a lot of things, because that's a pretty big change. The most notable things that I think are going to change, the reprinting of, powerful cards and stuff like that is going to be a lot different. So, with the removal of the core set, they did reprint a lot of cards in the core set, but the power level of most of those cards is relatively low for the most part. So that's an interesting, change. Another thing is, of course, you don't have... So now the way the rotation works is basically standard rotates with every block. It used to be there was a point in time where there was two core sets in standard and then two whole blocks in standard.
So we are now.
Yeah, just going to be two blocks at a time, at most. No core sets, just two blocks at a time. So it kind of rotates a little bit quicker, I guess, but it's,
And it'll almost feel like block constructed with one extra small set.
Yeah.
Or one extra big set.
So that's the biggest changes are going to be to standard. But so how is that going to affect modern? Again, I think it comes back to the reprinting of cards, because a lot of players have pointed out if we change it to this new system, there has to be more aggressive reprinting of certain cards to keep standard as decent format. So
especially if they want to bring back older mechanics,
right? And there's only two blocks in a set, so they only have two sets to make or show what they got with that set, so, or that block. So it's going to be a lot faster paced. So, and like I said, the effects on modern, not going to be as much as they will for, standard and limited, of course, but,
I think there'll be a sort of vague increase in card variety.
Right.
But other than that, should pretty much stay the same.
Also, powerful mythics in those small sets are going to be really expensive if they're using modern at all.
Yeah, and that's another concern that people have brought up, especially with the printing of powerful cards, is how is this going to affect prices?
Small sets already aren't drafted that much, where the majority of cards get opened, and now they're going to be drafted even less.
Yeah, it's like Voice of Resurgence, like a one good card from like Dragon's yeah. Maze, you know.
Sorin, Lord of Innistrad.
Right.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's, like I said, that's just kind of the hot off the top, or, you know, hot off the press sort of thing that we wanted to talk about before we get into the big discussion here. So now we're going to go ahead and move on. We're going to talk about, we're going to give some of you standard players some tips, some general tips for getting into modern.
Pro tips.
So listen up, you know. Sorry for you, you seasoned players. I promise we will put out more episodes in the future that are geared more towards the seasoned modern players. But you know, I think we still got some. You know, it's still kind of interesting to see what other, you know, even seasoned players have to contribute to that. So, all right. So we've each come up with the three of us have each come up with three tips for standard players getting into modern. So I guess I have me up as first, so I'll go ahead and we'll start with mine. And so I'm just going to read them off, and then we're going to discuss about it a little bit and then move on to the next one. So my first one is, be careful before you lightning bolt a 2/3 Tarmogoyf.
Double check.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
We all, and honestly, and also just kind of like a general tip for people getting into modern, brush up on your rules. Like, there's some interesting rules interactions out you don't see outside of, or you don't see inside standard. So, so here's the deal. Here's how it works. So Tarmogoyf, you know, it's your generic, you know, one colorless, one green. It's a 0/1, and it gets, you know, or its power and toughness is equal to the card types in the graveyard. So a frequent mistake that I see newer players make is, you know, when they're playing with Lightning Bolt, they go to Lightning Bolt a Tarmogoyf that's a 2/3. Now, of course, if there's already an instant in the graveyard, that's fine. You'll kill a Tarmogoyf. But if there isn't, here's how it works. So when you cast the Lightning Bolt, when Lightning Bolt resolves, it deals 3 damage to Tarmogoyf, and then 3 damage is marked on that Tarmogoyf. Now, state-based actions are not checked until Lightning Bolt is completely resolved and has gone into the graveyard. So Lightning Bolt will then go into the graveyard, and then state-based actions will check. And at that point, if there wasn't already an instant in the graveyard, Tarmogoyf will now be a 3/4 with 3 damage marked on it, and it will not die. I see this mistake happen a lot. Even those who have been playing, you know, for a fair amount of time, still make that mistake. So,
and there's just certain little interactions that you'll have to learn.
Yes. There's way too many for us to even, like, you know, begin listing.
Just be prepared to look at a lot of Tarmogoyfs and realize you can do nothing about them.
Well, and I think it's more of a game awareness thing. You have to know what's, you know, how many cards your opponent has in their hand, how many, you know, what's in all the graveyards, which you don't really care about in standard a lot of times.
Yeah, in standard you're just kind of looking at the board. Yeah.
There's a lot more information to analyze.
Right.
In a modern match than there is in a standard match. And especially with our friend Tarmogoyf clogging up the board, you're going to have to be super careful about the way that you you interact with the graveyard and the way that you
yes.
sort of maneuver around our big toughness friend here.
Yes. So that's my first tip. Next tip, a little more general. And we're gonna try to keep these generals. I don't want to, you know, there's lots of specific interactions you could discuss, but we're gonna, for the most part, keep it more general here. So my next one is, combo is a thing. Deal with it. So, you know, a lot of, even, you know, players who've been playing standard for a fairly long time, but never have gotten into like modern or legacy or anything, they just have like this incessant fear of combo. Like, they're afraid they're just gonna like die on, you know, turn one, or even just like die to like Splinter Twin being put on a Deceiver Exarch. Look, combo is a thing. You can do things to stop them. Like, you don't it's have true. To unless you're playing a ham sandwich. you have options. You're not just gonna lose to
even
to
in combo. Decks without counter spells, you have options.
Right. So the whole thing is, and my main piece of advice for this is, like, not only, you know, be aware of the viable combo decks in the format. You know how they work. Go look them up and, like, you know, see how they work, so you know what you can do to stop them with your particular deck. But also be aware of, like, fishy things that let's say you show up to your first Modern event ever, you don't know what the field is, you don't know nothing. And someone cast like a,
I think Ad Nauseam's a good example.
Right. but let's just say you see someone cast something completely strange, like you've never, it's really obscure. It's not your Tarmogoyf.
Phyrexian,
like,
Unlife.
Yeah, Phyrexian Unlife. There's a card that doesn't immediately really do a whole lot by itself, yeah. You know? So then, when you see that, think to yourself, what's really going on here? Is he, you know... He's not playing defense with that card, you know? So, you know, just be aware of things like that. You're going to see there are a lot of weird combos that you don't see very often. You had to, like I said, you had to keep an eye out for those fishy things, because next thing you know, you could... Here's the latest example from my personal experience. Someone was playing... they were playing Sheldock Isle with four mainboard Extirpate, four mainboard Surgical Extraction, Relentless Rats, and, like, so 40 Relentless Rats and some Eldrazi.
Oh,
so he goes, he goes like, yeah, you know, yeah. Discard, he plays thoughts, he's targeting himself, discarding Relentless Rats. I'm like, there's something fishy going on here. You don't just, you know, so there's weird stuff like that, that, you know.
Yeah, Zombie Infestation, the same kind of deck, too. Right.
So, combo is a thing, like I said, deal with it, and by that, I mean, you know, educate yourself so that you don't get wrecked by combo decks. Now, sometimes, you know, there's nothing you can do, and sometimes you just get comboed out on. Be prepared for that as well. But, you know, if you're playing a legitimate deck, there are things you can do to interact with combos to stop them. So, all right, moving on to my last piece of advice, and then I'll let you guys rattle off some of your own advice. 5 and 6 drops are rarely playable in Modern. So, I know a lot of you standard players like to cast your fatties and your Blood Baron of Viscopa and your...
Like me, I'm one of those people.
Yep. And I mean, of course, in most good standard decks, you're going to cast the 5 and 6 drop fatties and stuff like that and start going to town. In Modern, it just... Unless it's Worm Coil Engine or Primeval Titan... You shouldn't
unless you're playing Tron or your deck has Primeval Titans in it, yeah.
Right. So, yeah. Don't, for the most part, you aren't really going to be considering 5 and 6 drops. Oh, and good one for a 5 drop is Batterskull, of course. But anyway, like I said, most 5 and 6 drops, don't even consider it. So, all right. So that's my general tips for standard players getting into Modern. Next up, Matt, you want to go ahead and read yourself?
Yeah, so my first one is expect it to be expensive, especially for a near top tier deck. Between the land base you have to get and the silver bullet cards that just win you the game, Cryptic Commands, Vindaline Click, Noble Hierarch, those kind of cards. If you want to build any kind of cards of those colors, you're looking
to spend some cash. Yeah. Now here's the thing, and Matt, you and I discussed this a bit before we sat down to record. But in Modern, the nice thing is it's more of an upfront cost. Now, of course, yeah, most of your modern decks are going to be more valuable than your standard deck. But you know, Modern isn't a rotating format per se. So
yeah,
My next
tip is commit to your deck. If you're going to invest in your deck, play it for a long time. I run a store, and some people buy whole Modern decks, and then 3 weeks later, they sell it back to me and buy another one. This is not a way to learn how to play Modern.
Yeah.
You need to commit to your deck, learn how to play it against all these other decks, and learn how these decks, how they go. So you can see someone play another deck and really like it and maybe start turning towards theirs, but you haven't really given yourself enough time to learn how to play.
Right. So, and that's...
I agree.
Yeah, totally agree. Like, now, of course, when you first get into the format, like, you may not necessarily have, like, a... Like, let's say you know you want to play something like Jund or something like that. And you maybe want to start with something more budget. That's fine, too, you know. But at least have, like, an end goal in mind, you know. Don't just, like, oh, well... I saw this deck and I think it looks good. I guess I'll just play that. No, like actually,
and that's a good segue into my first point. Actually, Matt had mentioned, you know, expecting to be expensive, and we're talking about sort of like don't be intimidated by $120 Scalding Tarns. Yes. You can build Burn. You can build Hate Bears. You can build Tron, to some extent. Tron's getting a little bit more on the expensive side now with Grove of the Burn Willows, but even that can be substituted. You can build lots of decks in Modern that don't require fetch lands or expensive mana bases, and you can be fairly competitive, if not, you know, tier 1.5, tier 1. So I would, like, don't let that be a turnoff. That could be something that, like, if you want to play a control deck or if you want to play a mid-range deck that needs fetch lands, you could work up to that. I don't let that discourage you.
Yeah, and that sort of leads into my last tip.
Yeah. Go back to Matt's last tip. Go ahead.
Don't expect to use that many of your standard cards in Modern. You may use them in place of some of the more powerful cards, but they're, for most of your standard cards, they're just strict upgrades in Modern as far as power level goes.
Right. So, like, a good example, sure, I think, is, like, Underworld Connections is just strictly outclassed. Well, not strictly, but for the most part, outclassed by Dark Confidant, for example.
Or even is strictly outclassed by Phyrexian Arena.
Yeah, or, right. So... There's lots of examples like that in Standard, but, and, you know, we are going to talk about, there are some cards in Standard that you can keep around, but we'll get to that towards the end of our show.
And sometimes, you know, you have to use your Standard cards until you can get the Modern upgrades, which a lot of times you can still win games, and, you know, I'm sure our Underworld Connections can win a couple of Modern games.
Yeah.
But...
Especially, you know, if you go to, like, an FNM, you know, a little bit more casual event, you know, you have some... It's not as unforgiving as you might think. So
yeah, like we were saying before, combo decks, you know, usually can't kill you on turn two. You have some time to establish your board and play your deck.
All right, so Josh, let's move back to yours. So we already listed off your first one, and that is don't be intimidated by mana bases. And you're absolutely right. You know, just shell out the money and get the mana. Lands are good,
and owning lands, eventually, if you want to, you know, work up to buying expensive lands, owning lands are a great investment. They generally retain their value pretty easily.
Yep.
And while, you know, combo decks might not be as scary as you might think, I feel like where my heart is for a lot of new Magic players and a lot of new Modern players, is just to not get discouraged, because there's lots of things that might seem intimidating and expensive and complicated, but I just, like, when you do get blown out, which it will happen, don't get discouraged. There are lots of powerful decks, much more so than there are in Standard. There are a lot of powerful decks that you might not see coming.
But there's a lot more stronger hate cards too. Like,
yes,
like Blood Moon, for example. Like, if Blood Moon was standard legal, kids would freak out.
you're gonna be sitting at a match at your local FNM, and you're gonna realize that all of your non-basic lands that you just spent so much money on are now mountains.
And now you're not casting anything.
Yeah, you can't play Magic, and you're going to feel really bad at that moment. You're going to be like, why am I playing this format? And
Your opponent just plays a Thunderball Hulk. Okay. Beats you in the face for 5 turns, you lose, or 3 turns, you lose. Yeah.
And I encourage you to stick with it and to not be intimidated by blowouts and just to play to have fun, because it's just like any other format in Magic. Modern is a creative outlet. It's a place to have fun. So don't get too discouraged.
Yeah, it's like, unlike in Legacy, you know, there's a lot more wiggle room and room for like innovation and stuff like that. In Legacy, it's very strictly what you take to an event has to be pretty much optimal, or else you're not really. You might as well just be playing a ham sandwich. So, yeah, Modern, I mean, to this day, I still get, you get Blood Moon, and I'm like, feels bad, and I guess I just lose. But
I should have fetched my forest.
Yeah, that's more so what I'm thinking, but yeah, so, again, watch out for the powerful hate cards, you know, otherwise, yeah, expect to get blown out. That'll happen. All right. So, what's your last one, Josh?
Sort of goes along with my last point there, the second point. But build decks around cards you love. While there's certainly good decks and bad decks in Modern, a lot of times if there's a card you like we were talking about it before the show, if you like Huntmaster, and you like Domri Raid, you know, there's a green deck there. A green red deck there. You could build a Domri Raid Huntmaster deck, mid range green red. You'd probably do just fine. You can, like, say you like, you know, Sphinx's Revelation. If you just came off of playing Esper Control and Standard, and you're looking to get into Modern, and because you don't want to sell your Sphinx's Revelations when Cons comes out. Well, there's Sphinx's decks for you. There's Esper Control, there's Blue White Red, there's Blue White Red Midrange, there's all kinds of decks that do utilize the cards that you love. And don't be afraid to brew.
That's a big thing. Like I said, with Legacy, that's just not a thing. Like, maybe a little bit, but very much not so. In Modern, it's totally a thing. Like,
yeah, brew away.
Feel free to get innovative.
Yeah, we wouldn't have the decks that we do if people weren't out there brewing. So,
right.
And that's the way I like to play Magic personally. I don't know about you guys, but I like to play with cards I love. And so,
me too, man.
So
go look at my list of my favorite cards in MTG Salvation. Two of them are Dark Confidant and Knight of the Reliquary, and the other ones that I've listed aren't Modern legal, so.
I did a deck search for Elspeth Night Errant just because I really wanted to play with her in Modern, and I found a sweet Naya deck that played her.
Oh, dude, a Naya mid-range deck. Sounds like
it was a lot of fun. I played Johnny Benjen and...
Oh, boy.
It was a Domri Raid deck, too.
This podcast to bring you completely what we want to play with.
Dude, that sounds like so much fun.
It is. Right? Yeah.
The deck with Primeval Titan is going to be a blast. So.
Oh boy! Yeah. You're speaking my language, man.
Yeah.
Play what you love. Those are my tips.
Because if you just play a deck you hate, you're going to hate the format.
I mean, honestly, you know, a lot of pros will do that. You know, it's like when eggs was a thing in the format. I remember someone made a post saying, "I played against Conley Woods." And his first turn consisted of play a bobble and an apology saying, "I'm sorry for playing this deck, go." And then he passed the turn and it was like,
yeah. I mean, it's sort of the same thing with Splinter Swim with Tarmogoyf. After that made a debut, a lot of the pros just started playing it. Even if they never played those colors before or that kind of deck before.
They're gonna move over to this deck
and just played it.
Yeah, so like,
if you're an FMN, you don't have to play the top deck at all. Yeah. You play the deck you like.
Not only that, but, like, honestly, I would still avoid just playing, like, what people would consider the top decks. Because they may look like top decks because they've done well lately, but you never know, really.
So. Yeah, a lot of those times those decks get metagamed out.
Right.
Like, really quickly.
Yeah. Which actually kind of brings us up to our next topic here. So, the next topic we're going to talk about is we're going to give you guys, we have three decks listed up here, and we're not going to do like full-blown deck techs on these decks, but we kind of wanted to make some recommendations and discuss them for you guys for decks that would be good for standard players getting into Modern, or for beginners in general getting into Modern. Of course, I think if you have a standard deck already, I think these decks would be a little bit more suited towards you, more so than just a flat-out beginner getting into Modern. But we, like I said, we've gotten three decks picked out, and we're going to go ahead and start with the deck that I hate the most, and that is Burn.
You don't like Captain 20?
Oh, Marshall. Carefree.
Well, that's actually what makes it a good deck for newer players. So so things to keep in mind when we're discussing these decks, we're going to, you know, kind of talk about, they are relatively budget, maybe the last one a little less so, but, you know, we're going to talk about how budget are they, you know, how feasible are they to, like, you know, to work with on a tight budget. Do they port from a standard deck at all? The three that we have listed, mostly no, but we can, you know, kind of make a few connections there. So like with Burn, for example, I kind of thought, you know, there's a lot of, and there always is some form of like red deck wins in standard. Right now it's kind of like Boss Sly or whatever they're calling it nowadays with like
Rabble Master
and the Madcap skills and stuff like that. Right. This is a deck that's kind of similar to that kind of playstyle. A little less creature-based, of course, but if you're playing something like that, this is something that you could, you know, you could do in Modern, and that's Burn. So like Josh already said, goal of the deck, count to 20. You play, you know, just tons of Burn spells, so Lightning Bolt. Now here's the thing, I think the reason why I recommend it the most is because with its latest addition to the deck, and that is Eidolon of the Great Revel, has really actually made it quite the viable deck in both Modern and in Legacy.
So, excuse me while I look that card up.
The one that's whenever your opponent casts, or whenever any player casts a spell, three or less casting cost, it does 2 damage to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, which, boy. Which
every good spell in Modern almost is less than, is 3 or less.
It's, so for like older players that are listening, it's basically Pyrostatic Pillar on a creature.
Yeah. Any deck with Dark Confidant is going to have almost every card in their deck is going to be less than, or 3 or less.
Right.
Because they can't take damage off of, that much damage off of Tarmo, or off of Dark Confidant.
Yeah. So, as far as like, you know, budget is concerned with Burn, I think the biggest expense to Burn is actually just getting like fetch lands. Of course, there is a couple like, there's a couple of kind of pricey cards in there, like, I'm trying to think of a few, like Goblin Guide, for example, is I think $10 to $12.
That's probably the most expensive.
Right. That's the thing. It's probably the most expensive outside the fetch lands. But here's the thing. So with Burn, you can actually kind of get away without using fetch lands, for example. So, you know, most builds are, you know, using Grim Lavamancer to some extent, or like things like Searing Blaze. And those help if you have fetch lands. But you can still, not only could you choose not to utilize those cards, but you can also still just go without the fetch lands. And so for the most part, it's a very budget option. Here's another reason why I recommend Burn for, like I said, not just new players, but standard players getting into Modern. When you play Burn, games are short. And when games are short, that gives you time at events. So after your match is up, you can go around and watch other games in Modern. So it gives you lots of time to, you know, watch other games and, you know, look and maybe see what you'd like to move on to if you don't want to play Burn for the rest of your life.
Also, if you have a short attention span and you just want to focus on doing one thing, it's a good deck as well.
Right. Very, very easy if you're going to be playing, you know, at like something like a Grand Prix. Like Matt said, you don't have to have
not many choices to make.
Right. So that's the benefit to Burn. Downside is, I mean, there are going to be some pretty strong hate cards for it, you know, like back to what Josh is saying, expect some blowouts. There are a couple of blowout situations here in Bern. Not so much blowouts, but rather it's like, here's why I don't enjoy playing with Bern, and that is, it's like once you're out of gas, that's it.
Yeah. The game kind of has the potential of ending before it's actually ended, which is a poor feeling.
Yeah, sometimes Obstinate Baeloth or Pyrus Gold, just you can't beat it at all.
Yeah,
right.
Yep.
So you have to kill them before they get to that point.
But next up, we have a deck that's near and dear to my heart, personally. Well, tribal decks are really near and dear to my heart, but fish in general.
Yeah.
Merfolk, to spoil it for everyone.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and we're going to go ahead and move on to that next deck, and that's Merfolk. So the only parity or the similarity I saw with this deck to a current standard deck was like Mono Blue Devotion, but really it's not a Devotion deck, of course, because it's not playing Nykthos or Night Vale Spectre or anything like that. But
some are playing the 4-drop Merfolk, I think.
So. Yeah, the Master Waves.
Master Waves. Master Waves. Thank you.
They are playing Master Waves. Some are playing a Wurmt Thassa. Some are definitely playing Mutavaults.
Yeah, in fact,
they're all playing Mutavaults.
But yeah, pretty much every modern Merfolk deck is playing Mutavaults. So if you already have that deck,
I mean, there's still a little bit to go, but it's kind of the same style.
Right. But most of the other cards, it's like, so if you already have Mutavault and Master of the Waves, most of the other cards are relatively inexpensive. It doesn't play fetch lands. The biggest expense I see from the deck that I can remember is Aethervial.
Yeah, definitely.
So Aethervial is like a $17 card. So four Aethervials, that's $70.
You don't want four? I mean, you can get away with two. They're a horrid top deck. So
when you're on turn seven and you top deck Aethervial, it feels
really good. So with three, two is super sketch, but playable.
I mean, your goal, of course, if you want to play the deck viably, would be four. But I mean, if you're willing to, if you already have those cards, I mean, this is actually a lot less expensive than most standard decks. Already have like Mutavaults and stuff like that. So this is also a blue deck that doesn't play Cryptic Command, so
sort of on the theme of fish, there's another deck that recently made a splash at the Last Word, Matt's shop here, Last Modern, from a friend of mine named Augustus. He plays another tribal deck called Shamanism.
Oh, Shamanism.
And Shamanism, is it fun? It's actually really really affordable.
It's a lot better with Deathrite Shaman, but
It was a lot better with Deathrite Shaman, true. But you can build it red green, and it plays very similarly to Merfolk. Yeah. Plays Aether Vials and Caverns and Mutavaults. But it's sort of a more stompy version. Mm-hmm. And it has the potential of like having some really explosive plays with Boss Banneret and Elvish Visionary, so it's definitely something I'd recommend. It's definitely a deck that I'm looking at sleeving up in the near future, so highly recommend it.
Yeah. So Merfolk, for those of you who don't know how the deck works, we've actually discussed Merfolk in an earlier podcast. But Merfolk, as Josh said, is a tribal deck, so it plays all Merfolk, or fish, as some people call it.
Not just that, but it plays Merfolk Lords.
Right.
That's the most important part.
Yeah, so it plays Lord of Atlantis, Master of the Pearl Trident, those sorts of cards, and just tries to get these Merfolk to become like 4/4s for 2 mana. And, you got Aethervial to accelerate the process to make make your dudes bigger even faster and to put more dudes in place sooner than you normally could.
Yeah, Phantasmal Image as well.
Right, and Phantasmal Image to copy other Merfolk. Obviously, Phantasmal Image is not a Merfolk itself, but it just copies. So, I think it's a great deck for beginners because, or for standard players getting to modern, because it's not like a it's not one of those like easy peasy, like, you know, it's not like a red deck of wind sort of deck where you just like, you know, attack with my Ash, I'll add madcap skills, you know, kill you, whatever. It's more, you had to, it's got more interaction than that. You can, you know, you have Aether Vial in the mix to like figure out how you want to like, you know, play around removal spells and like, so for example, the deck plays Curse Catcher, which allows you to counter a spell unless its controller pays one when you sack it. So you can, you know, in response to a removal spell, flash in the Curse Catcher to, you know, make some blowouts, or they go to block and you flash in another Lord and you just wreck their board. So it's, and not only that, but because it's a blue deck, it's got interruption for like the combo deck. So it's not just like, it's not like Burn where it almost basically just auto loses to like most forms of combo.
Also, maybe the most important card in the whole deck is a common card, Spreading Seas, which does a few things for your deck. It turns one of your opponent's maybe Overrun tubes into just a basic island, and then it almost always makes your guys unblockable.
Right, because so, Lord of Atlantis says all your other merfolk have
does island. All the things in one card.
Yeah, it's a, that's a good...
If you like playing Spreading Seas, this is your deck.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think Blue Moon is another good deck to place Spreading Seas, but
yeah,
that's not on our list of recommendations because that deck is a little bit more difficult to play with. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I think Merfolk is really good deck for a standard player to get into Modern. It is an aggro deck, but it's an aggro deck that's got, you know, some. It's not your mindless aggro deck where you're just pooping out stuff and turning dude sideways. It's got a little bit more to it than that. So,
yeah.
All right. So moving right along. Oh, another thing before we move on from Merfolk, I do want to say they also have some really awesome sideboard cards. Again, they have ways of interacting with a lot of different decks, which I think is cool. But anyway, like I said, moving on. And this last one, dedicated to those of you playing Control and Standard currently. Blue-white Control and Modern. Now, I know a lot of, you know, a lot of people, or especially seasoned Modern players, you know, the blue-white-red is kind of like the premier Control deck in Modern, at least for the most part. I know, you know, we had talked about, like, Esper Control, you know, by Wafa Tapa making some waves here, but over greatly overshadowed and overlooked, there is a blue-white Control deck in Modern that is also viable. So, yeah.
If you already have your Sphinx's Revs, and you have your Detention Spheres, and you have your Supreme Verdicts, and you have your Hollow Fountains, this deck can even play Temple of Enlightenment. I mean, it's not a far stretch. You're a long way there already.
Yeah. And actually, I think the only... So here's the thing. You can actually... This one plays pretty well in a budget mana base. So ideally, you'd want to have like a couple fetch lands in there. The blue fetch, of course, which are usually the most expensive, but you can get by without, you know, using the fetch lands. You can, it often employs the Scars fast lands, which is kind of rough in my opinion.
Yeah.
But you can play Seachrome Coast and get away with it, you know, especially at the casual level event. But yeah, it is, I mean, like the deck names, it's just a straight out control deck. You play some counter spells, and the counter spells are relatively, all of them except for Cryptic Command are, you know, fairly affordable. So, but yeah, you just play Wall of Omens and some counter spells and wipe the board and try to grind them out with Sphinx's Rev and finish them off with Celestial Colonnade or Restoration Angel, whatever it is that you're playing as.
Snapcaster Mages, yeah. Maybe. Which are expensive, but.
Yes.
It's just one of those key cards in Standard or in Modern that there's nothing close to what it is.
Right. Now, and here's the thing. So, like I said earlier, this is a little less budget, per se, because like I said, you do have a little bit more. But, you know, for those of you who are already playing Blue-White Control and Standard, this is actually fairly close to what's currently available in Standard. Like I said, there's no straight-up port from, you know, Standard Blue-White Control or Esper Control, whatever it is, to this deck, but there are a lot of similarities, especially if you've been playing Control for a while. It feels pretty similar, It's a lot faster, of course.
But I think we should recognize that there may be some people that are playing Standard right now, getting into Modern, that have that money to spend, that just looking for a similar deck.
Right.
This is one of those kind of decks.
Mm-hmm. And then with this one, the cool part about having this deck is you do have the option of eventually upgrading it or morphing it into Esper or Blue White Red or Jeskai, as we're going to be calling it here soon.
Or even America Splinter Twin or something like that.
Yeah.
You just play a grindy game and then you kill them on the spot.
So.
Sometimes.
Yeah, so it is, you know, a little bit more thought intensive. Of course, it is a control deck, so you had to be more interactive and understand a little bit more about the format, but it is, as far as like control goes in Modern, this one is a pretty good one to start out on. And at least, you know, if you don't know if you want to do Esper or Blue Light Red or something like that, it's great to start out on, because you're going to get the stuff you need for that deck, and then you can kind of make a decision on what you want to do.
Also, if you actually have no money, if you have no money at all and you just really want to play Modern, you can build Mono Green Infect for $5. And I promise you, you will win at least one game. Now, don't like come crying back to me on Twitter or on MTGcast saying that you didn't win any games at FNM with your $5 Mono Green Infect deck, but that is definitely a perfectly viable deck. And even if you want to put more than $5 into it, for about $50, you can build an Infect deck that kills people on turn, you know, 3 or 4, you know, fairly consistently, is pretty scary. And while it might not be, you know, as consistent as a lot of combo decks out there, it's an affordable option. Think if you want to sort of get the foray into Modern combo.
Yeah, and not only that, but it gives you the option, of course, of once you do get the money, you can upgrade it to the versions that you've been seeing more in the top results. So a lot of those lists are running, you know, Verdant Catacombs and Misty Rainforest and stuff like that, and a lot of other expensive, right, you know, or Splashing Black or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you can start out with the budget version, which is actually, especially with, like, Infect, like, you can show up to FNM and just, like, kill kids on turn 3 yeah, and walk away from the table and say GG, and
sometimes that deck just crushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they tapped out to play Wall of Moons on turn 2 instead of holding up a Path to Exile, and you get them.
Wall of Omens is a pretty good blocker, though, I will say.
Not against Inkwad Nexus. Nope.
So those are the decks that we definitely recommend, and that actually pertains to our listener question, which we'll get to at the end of the podcast. But so, yeah, Burn, Merfolk, Blue White Control, there's a lot more out there. Another thing before we move on to the next and the last segment of the podcast, I do want to mention there's a lot of really great resources out there. Especially, you know, if you've been playing Standard for a while, you already know you can just go online and look up, you know, the best results and look at decks that you want to play. And, you know, one resource that I want to point out, and I'll have this linked in the show notes for the podcast, on MTG Salvation, username Lantern has put together a comprehensive guide for getting into Modern, and it goes over lots of different decks and, you know, stuff like that, just to, you know, really, you know, get you on board if you're just completely new. So another great resource from that website as well. There is also a thread on the MTG Salvation forums under the Modern subforum. There is a thread for you post in it, and you post what kind of playstyle you like. You post, you know, you let them know what kind of staples you may already have, and then from there they make like a recommendation of some decks you would like. So if you have if you're having a tough time deciding a deck, you could go to that thread, and I guarantee you'll get some good advice.
Yeah, or also you can go to a site like StarCity.com or MTG Top 8 and just type in your favorite card and see what kind of decks are playing it.
Yeah.
That's also a good way, because you know you already have 4 of this card and you want to play it.
Yeah, and that's actually, I mean, that's something that I did. Especially even when I was like new to Standard, that's something that I did. So.
And it's a good way to find just kind of you know, out of the way decks that no one really plays. I guess we call them rogue decks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times those are some of the most fun decks you can play. Even though you won't win every round.
And then, of course, for your more seasoned deck builders, there is, you know, access to a lot of metadata results and stuff like that. So you have websites like MTG Top 8 and MTG Goldfish and stuff like that to give you, like, in-depth analysis of the meta so you can, you know, better look and see what you're playing against. I recommend those for those who play a lot of MTGO because meta is pretty relevant on the MTGO scene, so yeah. All right, well, moving on to our last segment of the podcast, we're just going to go ahead and list off some standard legal cards currently that can or will or are already being used in Modern. So we're just going to go ahead and list them off, kind of list what deck they may be played in. And yeah. So first up, we got Pack Rat. Pretty self-explanatory. It's kind of iffy. You know, it's not like being played a ton, but a lot of people, especially nowadays, have been experimenting with it.
There's a fringe mono black deck that might want him. There's, yeah. I guess you could play like black X mid range with him.
Yeah. He's just the kind of card that some decks just can't deal with.
Yep.
And this is true.
Make a rat every turn and kill him.
Yeah, so Pack Rat, if you already have some, you could definitely hold on to it. All right, next up, Thoughtseize. I mean, no comment on that. Premium Hand Disruption.
Yeah. I mean, some of these are just, they were Modern staples and just got reprinted.
Yeah.
For easier yeah. access.
Thoughtseize, obviously, like I said, Premium Hand Disruption. If you have those, if you plan on playing Black and Modern, you definitely want to hold on to it.
So, mm-hmm.
All right, next up, obviously, we had the Shocklands. And that's kind of also a given. They were already Modern legal, and they just got reprinted. And it's your bread and butter meta basis.
They're about the lowest they're going to be ever.
Absolutely.
Once rotation hits and you can't find them anymore, they're going to go way back up.
Right. All right. Next up, Mutavault. Mutavault, again, already a Modern staple before being reprinted in M14. And again,
I think it's too much in Modern. There's just several tribal decks that really like it, but...
Right, we mentioned Merfolk, but there's like a lot of decks that it could go in potentially as well. You know, that you don't see a lot of. There's a lot of tribal decks that play this land, so
yeah,
recommend Mutavault.
Fairies may make a comeback at some point.
Yeah, well, it kind of has already, but it's not really like playing Mutavault. But anyway, next up, Voice of Resurgence. Kind of fringe playable.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of it. Pretty much only in
junk.
Yeah,
junk and pod.
Yeah. Often employed in the pod decks.
Just restrict value.
Yeah.
There's a green white stompy deck.
Yeah. Loxana Smire is another one that goes in that deck. It's used in standard.
Yeah.
Maybe in that Naya midrange deck we were talking about earlier. Yeah,
definitely.
Dondurant. I'm still having daydreams about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good aggro threat. Voice of Resurgence. I could see holding on to value. So, next up, and on that similar note to the aggro, Brimaz, King of Orescos. This one isn't rotating out, of course, but it is current standard legal card that's
Reezy
Modern.
Reezy O'Reezy. I don't know, man.
Poor toughness.
Yeah, he's really good. Like, on paper, he's just, like, bonkers. But in play, I feel like... Every time I've seen him, he's just kind of been okay.
He just, like, dies to abrupt decay, gets chomped by Tarmogoyf, but...
Right.
But, no, I mean, in all honesty, he does see play in, like, some of the green-white hate bears, or just straight-up white hate bears.
And if he's your fair card in standard right now, there's a deck for you.
Yeah, no. If you want to play Brimaz, you can play, a hate bears deck and probably see some success with it, yeah.
Yeah, but it, like, it, you know, a lot of these cards aren't, like, huge Modern staples, of course, but... Brimaz is definitely one that's like, it could definitely be played down the road. So, all right, next up, we talked about this on last week's podcast. Or was it last week? Or was it week?
Yeah.
Keranos, God of Storms.
This man.
Yes. It's a big spell. Does a lot of things too. it's not played a lot in Modern or in Standard.
It is in that 5-drop range that you don't want to be in unless you're winning the game.
Right. That's actually kind of why I've been playing it. So.
Right.
But Keranos, you know, one that it's not, you know, worth a lot, but, you know, it is, if you're already looking to do it, you can use Keranos in Modern, so.
It is a card that you can play in Modern and yep. not be embarrassed.
All right, next up, and this one is rotating out, and there's going to be a lot of Standard players that have these that want to still be able to use them.
God.
Sphinx's Revelation. So, the Blue Sun Zenith on steroids.
And you know, like, I'm not hating on Sphinx's Revelation as a card. I'm just ready to see a new control engine. Right now, it's probably the premier control engine outside of Gifts Ungiven in Modern. So, I mean, this is very easily a tier 1.5 card for Modern. So definitely hold on to them. But I'm ready for something new and Standard.
Especially if you enjoy using them as a map.
Yep.
All right. Next up, on a similar note, Detention Sphere. A premiere.
Yeah, I think we can put Supreme Verdict in that camp too.
Yeah, Supreme Verdict, Detention Sphere.
Although Detention Sphere is being used in the Xur deck, that.
Yeah, there is a
Xur. That Xur deck. Yeah. I forgot about that deck. That's a really interesting one.
He gets Detention Sphere, gets rid of whatever your opponent's doing, and you swing in.
Xur the Enchanter.
Yes. With your Steel of the Godhead. Or your
All of the Godhead or whatever.
You put Steal the Godhead on your Geist of Saint draft. Get in there.
That's so just disgusting.
Oh, yeah, that's.
What a deck.
All right. those are, you know, obviously blue white control staples that you can play in Modern as well. Next up, Abrupt Decay. Abrupt Decay is rotating out also as well. This one isn't seeing tons of Standard play. But it is definitely seeing some Standard play because it's a good card. Very, very popular in Modern.
This card will be a Modern staple forever, as long as it's a format. Yes. And almost the same in Legacy if you're in those colors. You have to play this card.
Right. It's, in fact, foil versions of Abrupt Decay are already at 100, I believe.
Yes, they're at 100.
So, I don't even have to... We'll just tell you the price tag, and that'll be enough for most of you. Next up, Anger of the Gods. Anger of the Gods is not rotating, but... it is actually proven to be quite good in Modern, simply because I think it handles pod decks very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Affinity, you can do some damage to Affinity.
Slagstorm type effects are really powerful. Keep them around.
Yep. Next up, Scavenging Ooze. Scavenging Ooze was reprinted M14. It was already like a Legacy staple. So
it's been pretty heavily reprinted at this point.
Yeah, we talked about this before the podcast. It was a Modern level card that they just had to print in Standard to get in the Modern.
Right. So definitely one that you can hold on to. Next up, and this is a hate card. So not necessarily, it's a little bit more narrow, but it is a Modern staple somewhat, especially in the sideboards, and that is Rest in Peace.
Hey, there is that white enchantment deck that plays the main deck.
Yeah.
If you're going that route.
Right. Oh, no.
So, yeah, Rest in Peace. That is rotating out. If you are looking to play white, you could definitely look into grabbing a few copies of this. Next up, we've kind of grouped them together because these are all... A, they're inexpensive and they go in the same deck. That is... Right, and they just got... all three of them. Ornithopter, Springleaf Drum, and Darksteel Citadel. And obviously, those three cards go into Affinity. Not much more to it than that. So.
Yeah. Actually, funny enough, I've seen Insol Artifacts on a few lists.
Yeah, we have.
Yep.
And that's expect to see that in a future podcast.
Yeah.
Discussion on Insol Artifacts.
A card that got reprinted in M15 that may see Modern play is Illusory Angel. We haven't seen it yet, but...
Well, Illusionary Angel has been out, so I wouldn't expect it to change
much. No, this is the first time it's been in Modern.
Yeah.
Illusionary Angel?
Yeah. It was printed in Blade Chase.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Because I remember seeing it in the Modern frame. I thought it was in Zendikar for some reason.
No, this is his first time. I think it's almost Modern, you know, Modern level powerful in the right kind of deck.
Yeah. Just out of reach, though, I want to say, but. Who knows?
It's on the same sort of, it's in the same sort of camp as like Sarah Avenger.
Yeah.
You're kind of just like, this is really efficient, but I could probably be doing other things that are better.
Yeah. All right, so next up, Court of Calling, recently printed. Of course, that's just a modern staple that was reprinted recently. If you're looking to play Pod or a deck like that, Court of Calling is a good spell to have. So, next up, and this one also very narrow, and that is Skullcrack. Goes and burn.
Yeah. It's a burn spell. Yep. It goes and burn. It's good.
Yep. Next up, and again, we mentioned this one earlier, and that is Eidolon of the Great Revel. Like I said, making pretty big waves here and doing a lot of work for the burn deck. If you already have these for standard, you know, they pretty much go into a very similar deck in Modern and even in Legacy. So, all right, next up, Nykthos.
Yeah, I mean, there's a green devotion deck that can definitely abuse Nykthos.
Yeah, and I mean, outside that, it doesn't see a ton of play, but it's got potential. There's that mono white devotion deck in Modern that's sort of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes one deck to break a card.
Yeah, and... you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Next up, Corsair Crucifix, pretty typical. You see it in the black green mid range decks, kind of fallen out of favor lately. But
yeah, I think people are trying to like still find their Deathrite Shaman, like,
yeah,
replacement. And this guy was in there for a little while, and you know, the next card on our list, Chandra Pyromaster, tried to take that role.
Yeah. Well, for four mana, you just can't. I mean, Deathrite Shaman is just a house.
Well, that tells you how good Deathrite Shaman was when you're trying to replace it with four drops.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, the four drops aren't good enough.
Yes. So yeah. Chandra Pyromaster also played in a few Modern decks. Not a whole lot, but a few. Next up, under the same category we have Golgari Charm, Izzet Charm, Simic Charm, Boros Charm, and Rakdos Charm. Just goes to show you how good Rakdos charms are, kids. Charm? Yeah. Rakdos Charm is more of like a sideboard card.
Yeah, but it is around the board, but Boros Charm definitely main deck. There's a
Golgari Charm definitely main deck.
Yeah, there's a white red really strong burn deck if you want to go that route.
Right.
Golgari Charm is like a one of main.
Actually, and Rakdos Charm is the best way to kill a Splinter Twin Player. Just hands this is down. True.
Yeah. Is it Charm's seeing like two or three ofs in some black, you know, or blue red X.
Right. Next up. Young Pyromancer. Honestly, she's
can
seeing
we talk
play...
about the next three together? Because the deck that they go in is wonderful.
Well, I sort of thought of them together, but yeah.
there's like a black red Young Pyromancer deck that's sort of trying to peek its head into Modern right now,
yeah,
with Waste Knot and a bunch of like Rangefind effects.
But just Pyromancer by itself. Early on, it was, you know, people were like, "This is the red two drop that they've been looking for." It's probably as close as we've gotten so far, but...
Pile Driver?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I
Star needs that kind of deck, you know.
But yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, Young Pyromancer is really good. But yeah, also, Shrieking Affliction. You see that in 8-Rack.
I mean, Shrieking Affliction, yeah. I mean, it made that a deck.
Yeah. And, of course, Waste Knot, very recent addition. Player design card. Got a lot of cool stuff, so. Alright, and moving on to the last few items on our list here. Loxodon Smiter, we already mentioned Loxodon Smiter previously.
Yeah.
Goes into your most of your big aggro decks.
So, good.
Yeah.
And Uncounterable, not so relevant in Standard, very relevant in Modern.
Yeah. Also good against Liliana the Veil.
Yeah. Yes. So.
Also very good against Liliana the Veil.
Which could be a problem.
Yes. Boros Reckoner, you don't see it a ton, but again, it's got potential, especially in like the bigger aggro decks. And
there's also a combo deck where
with the fishy things going on, Boros Reckoner is one of those things that you might want to keep an eye out on.
Wait a minute.
Why do you have 30 cards in your graveyard in a Boros?
But yeah, there's also Scred Red, and there's the Dictate of the Twin Gods, Furnace of Wrath, of course, working the deck, so.
Another card that you won't necessarily see coming always, that is Gore Clan Rampager, an uncommon from Gatecrash. Pretty much just gonna go into your stompy, green-red stompy decks, you know, things like Gruul Aggro and Zoo and stuff like that. Not very expensive, or not very expensive, but very playable. Last, but certainly not least, in the same kind of deck, Experiment 1. Kind of like a pseudo Wild Nacatl. And now, of course, we have the cat back. The cat is back in the bag.
Yeah.
But it is actually, Experiment 1 is still a viable card in Modern, so.
Yep, sure is.
So that wraps up the list of cards for the Modern discussion, or for cards that we could see from Standard going into Modern. And again, all these, like, realistically, if they're not already being played, definitely have potential to be played. So, all right, and that pretty much wraps up the majority of our podcast, and we're going to go ahead and move on to the listener question for this week, which, again, has to go back with our previous discussion from the episode, and that is, what deck would you recommend for a beginner getting into Modern, besides one that we already mentioned? So, as per usual, feel free to leave it in the comments on the post on mtgcast.com, or, of course, feel free to send it via the usual lines of communication at our email, Josh's Twitter, the blog, wherever you want to do it. We are all ears. So, again, for those of you who don't know, the email is modernmarvelspodcast@gmail.com. The blog is modernmarvelspodcast.blogspot.com. Josh's Twitter handle, @petersponders. That's Josh's Twitter handle for those of you who want to get in touch with Josh. And, yeah, that pretty much has us wrapped up for tonight.
Thanks, guys, for another great episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's this been was good. Fun.
And, Josh, are you ready to go back to sleep?
Sorry.
All right, again, thanks for joining us. You have spent another perfectly good hour wasted listening to Modern Marvels Podcast. Again, thanks, and we'll hope you'll join us on the next episode. Have a good night.
See you guys.